Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Okay, we are involved in our Bible studies, the greatest story ever told. Kids, let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. History is really what? His story. And the Word of God tells a great story of God's love for mankind. And we're going to take books of the Bible and we're going to look at the main lesson from each book. Tonight we're going to do two books written by Jeremiah. The first one is the book of Jeremiah, and the second one is the book of Lamentations. And so tonight I want us to look at those. We're actually going to have one word to represent both of those and one object lesson to represent both of those books of the Bible. Now, does somebody know the object lesson for the book of Genesis? Just say it out loud if you know it. Family tree. That's right. So fill that in your blank. I want you to get this because when you think of the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. The beginning of many things happened in the book of Genesis. The world, man, sin, civilization, the nations, and Israel. And the word, the key word, is the word what? Beginnings. Thank you. That's right. Somebody got it right down here. Beginning. So the first blank on number one, Genesis, the key word is beginnings. Then there's a dash. And then family tree is the object. Okay? Now, you know, I've decided that it would take a small trailer to bring these object lessons in here every week. So I'm going to maybe just talk about it tonight. We may have some pictures of them up there for you. But y'all help me with this. But I want you to get a visual of each of these object lessons that help us remember what these books of the Bible are about. So when you see a family tree, you think about your beginnings. You think about Genesis. All right? Okay, so what is the object lesson for the book of James? Okay, that's right. That is the lesson there. That's the key words. The blank is the word pacifier. Grow up and get off the pacifier. That is the lesson from the book of James, all right? James used the word perfect several times in his book, but it did not mean a sinless man, but it meant one who is mature, one who is balanced, one who has grown up. The book of John is about believing. Boy, the great book of John. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20:31, we're told, it's one of the only books of the Bible that you are given in the book its exact purpose. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have a life in His name. Now, Blunden said to the group on the tightrope, he said, "Do you believe I could put a man in a wheelbarrow and take him across this tightrope?" They screamed. They wanted to see him perhaps fall off of the tightrope. So they screamed. And then he said, "Get in the wheelbarrow if you believe it." And as the story I read goes, no one moved. And then finally, after a long pause, his mother came out of the crowd. She got in the wheelbarrow. So, you know, if you really believe something, you get on board. And that's the word. It means to trust fully with your life. Not intellectual assent, but to believe. So the book of John, the key word is what? Believe. And the object lesson is a wheelbarrow. I pray that every time you see a wheelbarrow, you're going to think, the book of John, it means to believe. When that reminds you of that. Then we talked about the book of Proverbs. The key word for Proverbs is the word wisdom. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. And the key verse was chapter 9, verse 10. And when you see things with a special lens from God, it reminds us of binoculars. So the object lesson is binoculars. So you fill that in there. So now we're to Jeremiah. Take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 4. There's my binoculars. All right. Awesome. There you go. Chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Here was Jeremiah, a prophet. He was crying out to the people of Judah. In the Old Testament, the tribes had been divided up. There was a northern kingdom, there was a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom had Judah in it, and Jeremiah prophesied to Judah. The people of Judah were compromising their faith. And these prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah being one of them, they would always prophesy. And let me just say, here's what your key word is. I just want you to get this early in the lesson tonight, in the message tonight. The key word is the word weeping. Weeping. People have said, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. I want you to identify weeping with Jeremiah. A young preacher wrote Spurgeon. And Spurgeon, the great English Baptist preacher who preached to as many as 20,000 with no microphone. Patrick told me, he said, "Your voice sounds raspy tonight. I think I was hollering last night at my house watching television. There was something on that got me going, and so my voice is a little bit weak tonight because I just kind of let it out good when Jerry and I and Joel were watching that thing, and they caught that pass. Man, we just went crazy. Wings went everywhere. I mean, you know, chips. I mean, it was amazing. But anyway, we were excited, so I lost my voice a little bit. But Spurgeon could preach with no microphone to 20,000. He had such a voice. Barnum of Barnum and Bailey invited him just to be an orator for his traveling circus in America. Said, "We will pay all of your expenses." They offered him an amazing amount of money. And Spurgeon said no. He said, "Why would I ever want to do that when I can preach the glorious gospel of Jesus?" So, of course, he didn't take that offer. But he was offered that by Barnum. A young pastor wrote Spurgeon. And he said, "Mr. Spurgeon, nothing is happening in my church. There's nobody making a decision for Christ. There's nobody being saved." He said, "I'm preaching all of your sermons, and nothing is happening." And Spurgeon wrote him back. I've never forgotten this when I first heard it. Spurgeon wrote him back a two-word letter. "Try tears." Jeremiah was a crier. Jeremiah, for 40 years, preached to Judah and begged them to turn to God. They never did. They never did. So the key word is weeping. I'm praying that God would etch on our minds when we think about the brokenness of our world, we would have a tear in our eye for lostness. You can't hardly read the newspaper, ladies and gentlemen, without having a broken heart over what's happening to people all over this country and all over the world, people that need Christ, people that need to know that Jesus is real. They need to experience the life in Christ that we experience as believers in Christ. Jeremiah, and as you think about that and tears come to your eyes because people are missing it, I'm praying that it will remind you and it will remind me of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, the scripture says this, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah was he wept over the people. We'll look at just one more. Chapter 13, verse 17. The scripture says this, "But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive." What would happen in our families? What would happen in our lives if we had that heart for people like Jeremiah? Jeremiah preached. He preached with power, and yet he wept. So the key word for Jeremiah is the word weeping. For Genesis, it's beginnings. For James, it's the phrase grow up. For John, it's the word believe. For Proverbs, it's the word wisdom. For Jeremiah, the key word is the word weeping. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, and he preached. The second blank is the word wept. He wept for the coming judgment on Judah. Now, Jeremiah, with a favorable king, Josiah, he was with a favorable king, Josiah, at the beginning, and he preached for over 40 years. That's your little blank there. For over 40 years and was persecuted. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18. Those other ones show it as well, but we're just going to look at the one in 18:18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. "Then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. Jeremiah had all kinds of persecutions against him. He started out with the boy king, Josiah. Josiah became king as a youngster. And if you remember right, Josiah rediscovered the law, the word of God, and he said, we should be reading this. And so he gathered the people, and they read the scripture, and they stood. By the way, have you ever been in a church service? I've thought about this. I did not grow up with this tradition or with this habit. But have you ever been in a service, and the pastor gets up right before he's going to give the message. He says, open your Bibles to a passage. And then he says, would you now all stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? Have you ever been in a service like that? You know, I have thought often that I should do that from time to time, if not all the time. Now, I grew up where we sang and we prayed. And when the pastor got up, he read the scripture. I followed along in my scripture. And so I'm supposing it's okay if you don't have everyone stand. But I believe that those pastors that have you stand, first of all, it is in honor of the Word of God. The Word of God abides forever. And so they say, I want you to stand. I think they got that from Josiah. Josiah gathered the people and he said, you will stand when you listen to the law being read. Jeremiah began under King Josiah and there was more favor, but as it went on, there were about five, the final five kings of Judah were the ones that were ruling while Jeremiah preached. And it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. So for 40 years, he was persecuted. Now, I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 22. Jeremiah 36, 22. Let's see if I've got this right. Yep. Jeremiah 36, 22. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, and a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, for nor did they tear their garments, the kings nor the other servants who heard these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Seraiah, the son of Azariah, and Sheremiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned." Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this? Baruch, that man's name, whom I read in back in verse 27, and also I think in one of the earlier verses, B-A-R-U-C-H, Baruch, was his secretary and delivered some of his prophecies. All of his writings were destroyed by the king, so he wrote them again. Can I tell you this? Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah, and the king destroyed it. He burned it, and Jeremiah wrote it again. He dictated it again to Baruch, his secretary, and this is part of the persecution that happened. He lost all of his prophecy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the work that he had done and the Lord had given it to him? And so here was the king who was after him and destroyed it. And the Lord said, "I want you to get Baruch and I want you to write it again." And so we're probably reading version 2. It's what the Lord preserved for us to have in the book of Jeremiah. Notice he said, "I want you to write everything else, everything that you had before." So we got the first version. We may have gotten a little extra commentary. And listen, we may have gotten a little extra weeping out of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah cried out for the people not to backslide. I don't remember the exact number of times, but the idea of backsliding, you've heard that phrase before. Don't backslide in your Christian life. That word is used, I think, 13 times in the book of Jeremiah. Do not backslide. You are to repent and to, if you do not backslide and you repent, you can avoid the invader. Now, here's what Jeremiah said to the people. He said to Judah, "If we do not repent as a people, then God is going to send foreign nations into our nation and they're going to defeat us." And he preached this, and he preached this, and he preached this. The people did not listen. We don't have time to go into all of it, but in chapter 7 and chapters 26, it describes him crying out and saying to the people, "Please repent, or if you do not repent, then the Assyrians will come in, or the Babylonians will come in and will take us over, and other nations." So he preaches that message, all right? Now, I want you to look at chapter 18. This is beautiful. This is Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the poor. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent.'" That's an Old Testament word. That word's powerful. I wish I would have had time just to dig into that one word, the word. You know, the Lord, how do you have a sovereign God who knows everything, and yet the Bible says the Lord relented? That's amazing. Just that whole concept. You could write volumes bigger than the World Book Encyclopedia just to explain that one word right there. But the Bible says, he says in Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I would benefit it. Verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. So on this part of your page, it says there, he also preached God's willingness to forgive his people who would repent. Those who would repent. Now Jeremiah was a fireball preacher. He was a weeping preacher against Judah. He said, you better turn from your backsliding ways, and you better turn back to God and repent. If you don't, the nations from outside of us are going to come in and take us over. We are tempted sometimes when people preach hard against sin. There used to be a man that was an evangelist. I think Dr. Henley's gone to heaven. Dr. Jess Henley used to preach on hell all the time. He preached on hell. I have a good, if you've ever been to Jacksonville on Cassett Avenue, there's a Toyota dealership there, and the name of the Toyota dealership is Ernie Palmer's Westside Toyota. Okay? Y'all are looking at me like, why are you bringing that up? I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Well, anyway, if you ever go there, Ernie Palmer's son went to hear Jess Henley in Jacksonville, and Jess preached on hell. Jess Henley preached on hell, and Keith told me this. He said, I was driving down I-10, and he said, the Holy Spirit got so on my heart about that I needed to be saved. He said, I was weeping. I could not even see to drive my car. And he said, I pulled over into the shoulder. And he said, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ right there in the shoulder on I-10. Dr. Henley preached so hard on hell. But let me tell you what he did. He wept. He wept. He thought about hell. You ever thought about hell? William Booth of the Salvation Army said, we could close every seminary and Bible school if we could just open a portal to hell and let men look in it 1 second. You'd never need another seminary. Jeremiah was a hard preacher, but Jeremiah wept, and he also told the people that God would forgive them if they would turn to him. I think that is so beautiful. Sometimes we have the picture that these prophets were just, they were just mad about everything and they were just preaching. And sometimes we think that about preaching today and about Bible teaching, that's always, you know, there's just, that guy's just negative, that guy's negative. Let me tell you this, Jeremiah at least, he preached the negative, but then he came back and he said, but let me tell you about a potter. A potter who can take broken vessels and he can put you back together and make something beautiful out of your life. I just think that's a beautiful picture of the weeping prophet. Jeremiah wept to the people and he let them know that if you were willing to repent, and can I tell you this? Can I say it to you? There is not one thing you can do wrong. There is not one depth of sin that you can go into that if you will turn to Jesus, he cannot forgive. Now listen, if that was not true, we would not have a message to tell. This morning, Malcolm went to the jail. I'm sure, I'm looking at him right here. You went to the jail, didn't you? And he preached to people in prison. Those people, many of them, not all of them, but some are convinced they're too bad off, that Jesus couldn't change them. But he can. If they will turn to him, truly and trust Jesus Christ, he can change their life. And this was Jeremiah's message. Now he also made predictions about the Messiah. Look at chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. He's making a prediction about the Messiah. And in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. So he made predictions about that. Go to chapter 31, verses 1 through, 31 verses 31, 31, 31. I think that's right, 31, 31. He made a prediction not only about the Messiah, that's your blank, the Messiah, and the coming new covenant. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he made predictions about that. So this is the book of Jeremiah. Now for 40 years he preached, and folks, listen, not one convert. Boy, my mind just keeps going on stories. Doug Knapp, do y'all know the Knapps? In the book Thunder on the Mountain, a great book about Doug Knapp. Doug Knapp and his wife, of course, their daughter, Suzanne Gross. Yeah, the Grosses were here for a long time, and Doug Knapp was here for a while. But the story that I read in Thunder on the Mountain is they went as agricultural missionaries to Tanzania and for many, many years did not have any fruit. And then, after years and years with no fruit, a revival came to the people, and with his own hands, he baptized 25,000 people with his own hands in Tanzania over about a 10-year period. God's hand, and I think there were even more that came to faith in Christ because the Lord blessed in a powerful way. And so here is Jeremiah, the new covenant. He talks about the new covenant. Now, Lamentations. If you just go past Jeremiah, the next book is Lamentations. And although it doesn't say directly that Jeremiah was the author, it is widespread that he was the author because there's so much that's like Jeremiah in the writing. So here is the your first blank there. Loud cries, a lamentation. Oh Lord, oh Lord. That's like a lamentation, crying out to God. And so your first blank there is the word loud. The second blank is the word cries. Loud cries written after Jerusalem was taken by Babylon in 586 BC. And so you have Jeremiah preaching for 40 years. At least Doug Knapp had some converts eventually. Jeremiah preached to a nation who did not listen. They did not listen, and God sent Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar into Judah, and they took them over. And Lamentations, the loud cries, is the result of Jerusalem being sacked, Jerusalem being defeated. The entire book is made up of the eyewitness accounts of Jeremiah seeing the destruction of Jerusalem. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 48 and 49, it says this: my eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption. And so we see he weeps here too. Jeremiah wept in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah weeps in the book of Lamentations. Now, we're almost done. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. This is probably one of the most encouraging verses of Scripture in the whole Old Testament, but particularly in the book of Lamentations. In Lamentations, make sure I got it right, Lamentations 3, 19 through 26. Let me just read that. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is where the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, comes from. This is powerful stuff right here. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says the Lord. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In other words, I am not consumed, even though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions never fail. Even though he was an eyewitness to the destruction of Jerusalem. Why? Because the people would not repent. They would not turn from their own way. He wept. So, here's what I want you to write down. Get a Kleenex. Get a Kleenex. Now look at me with your eyes right here. I don't know how you'd look at me any other way, but look at me with your eyes anyway. I like the way that says it. I'm praying that every time you see a Kleenex, kids, see this right here? This is called a Kleenex. Kleenex is actually a brand that has been so etched in our mind that now we just call this thing a Kleenex. But anyway, every time you see a Kleenex, you're going to remember there was a prophet who wept over the people. What's the word of Jeremiah? Weeping. The object lesson is a Kleenex. May God help us to see fruit. Jeremiah didn't see it. Jeremiah, though, even though he didn't see it, he said, the compassions of God, they never fail. He said, great is thy faithfulness. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.